Now, this week's footballing legend is a man who has managed 9 different clubs throughout the Football League. As a player, he became a legend at Wimbledon and across the White Rose County. He's most fondly remembered at Sheffield United, where he was manager between 1987 and 1992, and at Barnsley as well, where he was in charge. This week, we can fittingly use the word legend. I'm delighted to say that Dave Bassett is on the line. Dave, how are you?
I'm very good, Joe. Thank you very much. You?
Yeah, very well. Thank you. So much to get through in terms of your career as a manager, but I just wanted to touch on your career as a player to start off with. Defensive midfielder, played throughout the Southern Leagues with Wimbledon and then in the Football League, 141 appearances. But I wanted to ask you about those games against Leeds in the FA Cup, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they were great days.
Yeah, I was reading that they were an inspiration to you when you went into management, the way that Don Revie's team set up.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, I was they were a really good side at that stage. I mean, they were getting plenty of stick for being dirty as such, but they were competitive. They were all internationals and they were winners. And, you know, when we came up against them at Wimbledon and had the 2 games against them, you know, you could see what a good team they were, and they were very competitive, and they were demanding of one another, and I just felt that they played a brand of what I call winning football. You know, the end result to play to win the game, and they were very successful. As I say, it was a team full of internationals.
Yeah, and in the book, The Crazy Gang, you say that was the inspiration, the Don Revie way of what became The Crazy Gang.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, I was into coaching, I was doing the badges at that, and I wanted to go into sort of management. I wasn't sure I was going to get into the Football League because it was non-league in those days, but I still wanted to be a manager and coach. And I just thought, you know, if ever I get the opportunity, I'd want to instill a lot of the way that Leeds, you know, played and the way they went about the game and professional and demanding of one another. And, you know, I just thought that they were such a good side at that particular time that, you know, if you could emulate somebody and pick up, I wasn't suggesting that we were going to be as good as players as all those players, but just seeing them play at that particular time and them coming up against them and in the 2 games that we played and everything else against them, you know, you could see that, you know, that they were a team. They were individuals. They had, you know, good players who individually could do various jobs for the team. But overall, the team was the most important factor.
All about instilling that togetherness and that mentality.
Yeah, very much. They were solid. They were all in it together. They were, you know, a solid unit, and hence, you know, they had no nonsense from anybody. You know, they played to win, and they were very competitive and challenging.
So, did you when you were playing it in the lower leagues, and obviously in the lower end of the Football League, did you always have eyes on becoming a manager, because that's where you've had the most success in football? Obviously, was that something that you were thinking about from an early stage?
Yeah, well, I took my prelim badge when I was 21 years old and was interested in coaching, and I was learning. I used to attend coaching courses in and around London, go and watch people work. And, you know, with the managers, Alan Batsford, who I was under at Walton and Hersham and Wimbledon, you know, was a studious-type manager who I respected, and Charles Hughes, who ran the England amateur side, which I was involved with. And, you know, I watched them work. I picked up stuff with what they were doing. And it was something I always wanted to involve myself, you know, to either be a coach or possibly be a manager. And I thought it was going to obviously be non-league, but with getting into the league with Wimbledon was a break that was very useful and turned out okay, because eventually, you know, I got the opportunity to become manager after having worked with Dario Gradi as his assistant for 3 years.
I bet you bit the hand of Dario Gradi off when he offered you that chance to become
his
assistant.
Yeah, well, what had happened, in actual fact, I was playing for Wimbledon when Alan Batsford resigned in that first season in the Football League, and in actual fact, Ron Knowles did offer me the job, but I realised I wasn't ready to do the job whilst I wanted to do it. Dario was there as youth coach and youth development, and Ron intimated that he was going to promote Dario to manager, and he'd have a word about, you know, taking me on as a coach, which I was very fortunate that Dario Darrell, you know, embraced the idea and gave me the opportunity. And the 3 years I worked with him, as you know, finished playing and then coaching with him, was very useful. I learned a lot.
And what start to your management career? Obviously, Dario went off to manage Crystal Palace, and you were there given the Wimbledon job and promotion during your first season to the third division.
That's right, yeah. I mean, Dario moved on when Ron Knowles decided to go and buy Crystal Palace, and he went with him. And, you know, I took over, and things went very well. We were 13th in the fourth division, as it was at that time, and we finished up third and getting promoted. And, you know, it was a terrific thing, because what had happened is I'd been working with quite a lot of the younger players, Glyn Hodges, Wally Downs, Paul Fishington, Dave Besant in the reserves, and they were sort of in and out the first team at that time, and I gave them their heads. And it worked out very well, but the following year was a problem because, you know, the situation with Sam Amman, he felt with the club and he was operating out of Lebanon. He you know, decided to sell a couple of our best players, Steve Galliers and Tommy Cunningham. And unfortunately at that time, Alan Cook broke his leg at the start of the season, and two centre-halves, Steve Jones and Mick Smith, had cartilage injuries. So all of a sudden, the team that got us up was decimated, and it was a long battle. We were struggling at the bottom of the league, and unfortunately, at the end of that year, we got relegated on goal difference to Walsall. So it was back to the fourth division and start all over again.
Yeah, start all over again, but it wasn't too long before you were earning promotion again.
That's right. Well, we ended up champions that following season. I mean, what had happened is, with the like of Besant and people like Kevin Gage, Wally Downs, Glyn Hodges, Mark Morris, Paul Fishington, Alan Cook, all sort of returned and that. And they'd got a lot of games under their belt, although they were still only 19, 20. You know, they'd been involved in league games, then they got promoted, then they got relegated. And they learned very, very fast, and they were a unit as such. And one or two players joined us at that particular time. Gary Peters come in from a bit to add experience to us in the particular team. Steve Hatter, a centre-half from Fulham, came for £5,000 to give us a bit more experience to add with the youth players. And we found that, again, that we were on the roll at that particular time. And as I say, we ended up fourth division champions with loads of points and lots of goals.
Must make you extremely proud looking back of some of the great players. I know you've named a few there, but you've been credited with the development of some footballing greats like Dave Besant, who you've just mentioned, Vinnie Jones, Laurie Sanchez, Dennis Wise. The whole crazy gang mentality is largely put down to you, Dave.
Yeah, well, it was something that we did. I believed in team spirit, and the players did, and I created an atmosphere where it was competitive, but it was serious. We had fun, we enjoyed ourselves, we enjoyed the laughter, but we seriously knew what we were doing. We were playing to plans. We had a system which we were operating. Players knew their job, and everybody was committed to the cause. And we had a very, very strong unit, as you say. As time went on, Nigel Winterburn came in when we came in the third division, as you say. Laurie Sanchez came in later as such. Dennis Wise, John Fashanu, Vinnie Jones came along as well to add to the squad. So as we progressed through the leagues, also we added players and strengthened them. Of course, a lot of the players we had. I mean, the team, we had, you know, seven players, including Besson, Alan Court, Wally Downs, as I say, Glyn Hodges, Fishington, Morris, and and Galliers, that all played in the fourth division, the third division, the second division, and the top league. So they came all the way through with the club, which is an amazing achievement.
Yeah, absolutely. Great times for Wimbledon back then, and a fantastic achievement, like you've just said, to go through the leagues. And it's not something you see so much these days because it's so difficult to achieve. From that, you went on to Watford for a period, and then you came for your first job in management in Yorkshire at Sheffield United. What was that like when you got offered the Blades job?
Well, I mean, things weren't going. It was a wrong decision by me to go to Watford, and it was a wrong decision of Elton to offer me the job, Elton John. But it was one of those things that just didn't, you know, square peg in a round hole, and it only lasted a short while, which was a shame, really, because that wasn't intended. But I was finishing at Watford. It was inevitable that my reign was sort of coming to an end, and Billy McEwen had been sacked at QPR, at Sheffield United, and Reg Brearley, who knew Ron Knowles well, asked Ron, you know, who he'd recommend as a manager, and Ron recommended me to Reg Brearley. So hence he set up a meeting with me, with Derek Dooley and Michael Ragg, the directors, and I had finished at Watford at that time. Well, I hadn't quite finished at Watford, and they were sort of suggesting that it'd be great to go up to Sheffield United. And of course, I knew Sheffield United was a big club in Yorkshire. It'd done well. It hadn't sort of progressed as much. And in my time at Watford, we'd had a few battles. We'd had one momentous battle when we came out of the third division with them right at the end of the season, which, you know, assured us a promotion. So I knew it was a fabulous ground and everything else on hard times. So it was a great opportunity, and I felt that I just needed to get away from London. I wanted another experience, and I felt that Sheffield offered that. And as I say, they were struggling down the bottom of the league. They were in the bottom two at that time when I left Watford, and you know, it was one of those moves that I thought, well, this is the right for me to go and do it. Albeit we didn't stay up that year, which was a disappointment, and got relegated, but it enabled me to build and reshape a new team.
Yeah, and of course, even though you got relegated, promotion once again at the first attempt, and you brought in the likes of Brian Dean, and of course the famous partnership with Brian Dean and Tony Ogana was struck up.
Yeah, that was a remarkable thing. I brought Tony Ogana to Watford and it hadn't worked out, so I took him to Sheffield United when I went there, and he settled in, and he was a good centre forward. And then, you know, with Brian Dean, they just gelled. It was one of those things that they both enjoyed the way they played. We got the best out of them, and, you know, the rest of the team did well. There's no doubt about that. But, of course, obviously, Brian and Tony in that first season hit something like 66 goals to get us out of the third division, and then continued it the following year when we went in the second division to get us into the top division. So, you know, they were the terrible twins that scored the goals, but they did fantastic for Sheffield United. There's no doubt over that particular time. But of course, obviously, there were other players who contributed to the team, and we had a good youthful thing with Simon Tracy, with John Gannon, who came to the particular side. Paul Stancliffe was there for a couple of seasons, who was a stalwart to the side, and Martin Pike, they were there. You know, they gelled with the young players that we brought in, you know, in terms of Ian Bryson coming from Scotland, who did a great job for us, and Bob Booker, I managed to get him after Simon Webster got injured. You know, they all contributed to the Sheffield United way. It was a sort of second crazy gang in a strange way.
Yeah, I guess that Dean and Ogana take the headlines when you look back at the history because of the goals they scored. Still best mates now as well. We spoke to Brian a couple of weeks ago, and I guess when you get a striking partnership that just gel like that, like you say, it's going to be dangerous. Of course, in the first division, it wasn't a fantastic start to that season, but then towards the end of that season, they managed to pulled together and earned a 13th place finish from being bottom of the table and breaking a losing record.
Yeah, going through the leagues, I mean, obviously, you know, people like Dane Whitehouse, Carl Bradshaw, and Mitch Wald, who were Sheffield boys, were important to us as well in those days when we were coming up and contributed, and they were young and enthusiastic. But when we went up to the first division, as it was at that stage, we weren't quite ready for it, and it was a difficult for us. As I say, I think it took us our 17 games to get our first victory against Nottingham Forest. But the great thing was there was a belief in the team. We did have players that kept working, and the training, it wasn't a desperation side. Nobody gave it a despair at all. Everybody worked hard, you know, even though the results weren't going for us. It just seemed to be the way, and it turned a bit then, and we again, as in the second half of the season, I mean, we were bottom of the league at that Christmas and looked like being relegated. We were hanging on, but as from February, we had a great run where we won 7 games out of 8, which was a terrific run and great spirit for the boys, and that pulled us clear of the relegation battle, and, you know, a mid-table finish, which was unbelievable, considering, as I say, I think we had 4 points after something like 16 or 17 games.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely unbelievable when you look
back on that. It was a credit to those boys in that their team spirit, they stuck together through thick and thin, and never gave up hope. And, you know, that was the great thing, really. And, of course, the thing was the fans were fantastic. You know, they'd seen where we'd come from, and they were proud of the boys to be playing in the top division, and they stayed with them. And, you know, I think it really contributed. And the atmosphere, as we started to win games, was unbelievable. But the tide had changed from where the fans were brilliant and keep going, thinking, well, it's all going to be over, we're going to be back in the second division. All of a sudden, there was light at the end of the tunnel. And, again, it increased with the celebrations at the end of the season, which was similar to the previous season when we'd got up promoted at Leicester.
Yeah, great times at Sheffield United. And of course, you kept them up in the Premier League during that first season as well of the inauguration of the league. You were back there in 2011 as well in a consultancy role. Does it sadden you a bit to look at where Sheffield United are at this moment in time?
Well, I'm disappointed. I'd like to see Sheffield United being up in the Premier League. You know, we were there for a period of time. Unfortunately, that got cut short because of politics and everything else. With the club having to be sold and the different situations, and the club weren't moving forward at that particular time. There was unsettlement at the top level, which filtered through eventually, and it caught up, and Brian Dean was sold against my wishes, and the investment in the team wasn't enough, etc. at that particular time. So the club have never really sort of managed to maintain. Well, they've had one season in the Premier League from that time when I left in after about 1994 when we got relegated, one season, and that's you know, really for a club of Sheffield United, it's a tragedy really, because they're great there, and to be where they are now for five seasons in League 2-1, you know, I find is absolutely amazing really, that Sheffield United should still be down there. You know, they've got the facilities, they've got the wages. It's just not worked out that the team and the management have taken them up to where they certainly should be. They should be in the Championship, but they should be in a position challenging to get in the Premier League and aim for there. But that seems a long way off now. So it is disappointing to see them, you know, losing games against teams that really, you know, they should be making mincemeat of.
You, throughout your management career, have had a knack of getting teams to go on these amazing runs. Moving on to your next job at Crystal Palace, again, another amazing run. When you took charge of the club, 16th place, and ultimately you got to the playoff final, but you were still in with a chance of automatic promotion going into the last couple of games of the season.
That's right. Well, my time at Sheffield United finished, and it was disappointing. It was sad, really, because I'd had a great time. I should have left Sheffield United. I had a few job offers in that last 18 months to go to Sunderland and Leicester, and I turned it down. I stayed loyal to Sheffield. With hindsight, I should have gone at that particular stage, because I could see the writing on the wall. So eventually, the parting of the ways come at Sheffield United. And Ron Knowles wanted me to go to Crystal Palace straight away at that particular time, because they had a joint manager, Ray Lewington and Peter Nicholas. But I was being interviewed for the FAI job in Ireland, which I was really interested in. But Mick McCarthy got that, and then Ron persevered. And yeah, I went to Palace, and it was a good time to go there. There were some good players. They just weren't perhaps hitting it off, and they weren't quite being what was required. They were 16th, but they just weren't showing the elements. But we managed to get them moving, and we got some good results, and again, a good spirit, and made a late run and finished in the playoffs, and eventually lost to Leicester in the playoff final after extra time, which was a disappointment and that. But, you know, we had some good players there in sort of Dougie Friedman, Bruce Dyer, George Endard, David Hopkins, Andy Roberts, and people like that who were good players. And we built, and I took Dave Tuttle and Carl Veer from Sheffield United. And as I say, we were there, and the following season we were at the top. We nearly got automatic that year. We were certainly in the frame, but before Christmas, Manchester City came and offered me the job, but it wasn't quite right to go at that particular time. And then Forest came back in the February and were offering me, and as I say, it was a bit disappointing. Ron Knowles wouldn't necessarily increase my contract or lengthen it, and the puller going to Forest, who were obviously in a relegation battle and heading back to the Championship, you know, appealed to me that I felt that it could move on. So really, it was a bit of a shame, you know, because I enjoyed my time at Crystal Palace. And as I say, we had that great run to the playoff final, and eventually they did get up the following season. When I left, Palace were third in the league, and they beat Sheffield United in the playoff final that year.
Yeah, and then, like you've just said, on to Forest. Again, another case of you going in and a club being relegated, but you're managing to get them back to that division at the first attempt.
That's right. Well, Stuart Pearce was caretaker manager. I was taken, went there, and at the end of the season, you know, I ended up from being sort of technical director to manager, and the demand was that we get promoted back to the Premier League, and we had a great season where we won the championship to get back to the Premier League. It was, again, a good front pair of Pierre Van Hooydonk and Kevin Campbell scored goals. But we you know, we had good players like Jeff Thomas, Steve Stone, Steve Chettle, Cooper, Mark Crossley and Besant there, you know, and we won the championship. And it was a real hard league. There were some really good sides that year. Middlesbrough with Brian Robson and Ravelino and that. There was also Charlton with Alan Kirbyshire with a good side. Excuse me. Trevor Francis had a good side at Birmingham. George Burley had a good side at Ipswich. It was, and Peter Reid had a good side at Sunderland with Quinn and Phillips. So it was a hard league, but we did well. But unfortunately, at the start of that season, Van Hooydonk went on strike, which was a ridiculous thing to do and created a major problem. And at the same time, the board wanted to sell some players rather than invest in the team. So all the hard work of getting up seemed a complete waste of time because the club weren't ready to move forward again.
Hmm. I mean, I've got to ask you about Pierre Van Hooydonk and that situation because, you know, I was just a teenager watching it from afar back then, and I just thought, how can a footballer, a professional footballer, strike? It was a bizarre and ridiculous situation.
Well, you're correct, that was right. But Pierre was a one-off. He was a strange fellow. He was very much a selfish, arrogant boy who was only concerned about himself, and he only thought about himself. He wasn't a real team player. He could be talented when in the right circumstances, but he didn't want to see it that way. And I think what had happened is he'd been to the World Cup in France, and the Dubois brothers, Ronald and his brother, had gone on strike for Barcelona. And for some unknown reason, I think his agent was the same guy who was the agent for those players, didn't act properly to make sure he come back to Forest, even if it was to come back to Forest and get transferred. So it was a bitter blow because when he did come back at the end of October, you know, the atmosphere in the club wasn't right. We were down the bottom, and a lot of the players just weren't having him, and it just didn't work out right. The people that running the club at the top just didn't realise what team spirit's about, and couldn't quite understand it, really. So it turned out a disastrous season, and I unfortunately was a victim because I got sacked just after Christmas with the team down the bottom, when really, again, the summer, Kevin Campbell had been sold behind me back, Van Hooydonk and all the things. There were circumstances, certainly, that way beyond what I could cope with to deal with, which is completely unfair, but of course, life isn't always fair.
Van Hooydonk, almost a player that goes against everything that you've stood for during your time at Wimbledon and Sheffield United.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, I think he's despicable. I haven't got any time for him at all. Anybody who does that is completely off the record as far as I'm concerned. I've got no time whatsoever for him. You know, all the good work he did in helping us get promoted, you know, was undone by his behaviour, which is completely unacceptable in any way in sport.
Back in Yorkshire, though, following that, and Barnsley, the next job that you turned up, another playoff final.
Yeah, but Barnsley was right. They got promoted, and they got relegated the following season, and then they tried to get back, and John Henry was manager, etc. And I was appointed, and I enjoyed my time at Barnsley. There were some good players there, with Craig Hignett, Nicky Eden, Matt Appleby, to name a few, and I added Neil Shipley to the squad, and Kevin Miller came in, and everything, and Steve Chettle, and it took us a little while to get going, but we really played well and did terrific, and we got to the playoff final, and unfortunately, we lost 4-2. It was a shame, really, because just we were drawing 1-1, and we got a penalty just in half time. And Darren Barnard, who's a good penalty taker, as was Craig Hignett, he shot, hit the bar and come back and hit Richard Wright and got cleared. So instead of going in 2-1 up, we were 1-1. So it was a little bit, and to fair to Ipswich, they played terrific for the next 20, 25 minutes. But then we came back and we got back to 3-2, and Richard Wright brought a couple of great saves off, one from Georgie Petrescu and also Jeff Thomas, which could have made it 3-3. But it wasn't to be, and they scored in the last minute. But again, Barnsley were there. But of course, the problem was it was all or nothing, really, and the players were allowed to go. Nicky Eden left that at the time. They sold Craig Hignett for the money, etc. And of course, it was going to be difficult for Barnsley to replicate what they'd done, and it was impossible. Although I think at the top level, they thought that was that we should be doing that. So come near Christmas, I sat down with the chairman, and I felt we were both going in the different directions, or what his realisation and what was possible. So I decided that it was time to call it a day there.
I mean, yeah, Barnsley, just an incredible feat that they got to the Premier League, and one of those situations where...
They were brilliant. Danny got them promoted, but of course it was always going to be hard. They've relegated, and we got so close again. You know, really, it was the first time the club had ever been to Wembley as well. So that was a great thing for the town, you know, going to the playoff final. And it was a terrific game. It was just unfortunate that we didn't get our noses in front enough for long enough. And as I say, in fairness to Ipswich, they did play very well at the start of the second half. But as I say, I think it would have been interesting had we got back to 3-3, because there was an extra time. I don't think there's a lot of them, like Mowbray, Venus and them, would have been out to do extra time, because they'd taken chances with them. They weren't fully fit for that one particular game.
And of course, that season as well, that the Tykes top scorers in the whole of the Football League, 88 goals scored that season. So
that's right,
certainly an entertaining team to watch.
I know we played very well at Grimsby on Christmas, and we beat him 3-0, and he was very complimentary after. He said in the paper, he said, you know, Barnsley, the best footballing side we've played all season. He said, you know, they tore us to pieces. And we did have people. Craig Hignett was a good goal scorer. Neil Shipley could score goals. Darren Barnard could score goals. Mike Sherrin was around with goals. The players did, and we created chances. We let a few more goals in than we wanted to, but there was this confidence about the team that they could score goals.
I just wanted to touch on your time as Leeds United assistant manager as well before I let you go, being another one of our Yorkshire sides. We heard from Dennis Wise a few months ago on Radio Yorkshire, and he said it was probably the biggest regret that he's had so far in his career, that it didn't work out at Leeds United. Of course, you were his assistant during that period. Do you think that, you know, maybe as a management duo, you could have achieved a lot more?
Definitely, definitely. Dennis knew I was very upset about him leaving Leeds. So I think it was a bad move by Dennis. I can understand why, because he was under pressure. Newcastle were there, and I think things were going on. The money was good, but I think also there were other things that in the offering for him there. And I think he got seduced it would be a good idea. Whereas I thought Leeds, I mean, he'd done tremendously well. We'd made up the 13 points. Gus had gone to Spurs. Dennis asked me to come and help it. There was a real good atmosphere at the club. Dennis had created that, and there was a good atmosphere. I mean, Swansea and Doncaster were two very good sides that year, and had it not been for the points, Leeds would have been up. But it was always going to be tight, and it would have been interesting. I know Doncaster beat Leeds in the playoff final. Well, I'd have fancied us if we was at Wembley in that playoff final. But at the same time, if Dennis had stayed there, I'm convinced we'd have got automatic promotion the following year. You know, there was players who were developing. Beckford was having a great time at that time. We was getting the best out of Candle. Johnny Howson was playing extremely well. We got Bradley Johnson. We got Kilkenny. You know, we Huntingdon was developing as a player at the back and everything else. There was a good players there. So, you know, I really felt that Dennis didn't do his own football career the best, because he went to Newcastle, he had 3 years there, he earned financially very well out of it, but it created a stigma for himself, because I think if he'd have stayed at Leeds and we'd pushed on and got in the Championship and even pushed on there, you know, he might have eventually got poached definitely for the Chelsea job or even moved on to somewhere else. So I fully understand, and Dennis knows my view on it. I like Dennis a lot, and I just think it was one of those things that he's there, he's faced up to a regret that really he should have stuck it out at Leeds. And, you know, Dennis, I told him, you know, we had words about it, because obviously he had to do what the decision was, but I thought it was totally wrong, as I told Mickey Adams when he resigned from Leicester, that he was doing the wrong decision, and he regrets doing that now. You know, but you can only tell people, but of course hindsight's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can see that obviously Simon Grayson came in and Leeds got promoted with that squad that you've just named all the players and they were already there.
It was a great job for him. I mean, Gary McAllister came in and he didn't make it, really. He should have done. You know, he could have lost that year, but it should have been a fait accompli for the following year. And as you say, Simon Grayson came in and did it with exactly the players. So, you know, I've no doubt that if we hadn't made it that year, which with the points off, we'd have definitely made it the following year.
And you've already given us your opinions on Sheffield United currently, so I've got to ask you about Barnsley finally before I let you go. They've been on a fantastic run, and then Lee Johnson has decided to go and take the job at Bristol City. Do you think there's any chance that Barnsley can sneak into the playoffs in League One?
Possible. I don't think so, necessarily. I think Barnsley were down the bottom. They weren't doing very well. They looked there. Then they've got themselves together and they've improved. I don't think they got enough to get in there. Again, Barnsley have disappointed over the years. You know, since I was there, they've never really achieved what they thought they were. You know, there was some semblance that Barnsley had some feeling or divine right that they should be in the Championship or up in the Premier League. Well, that's not the case, really. You know, Barnsley are more than capable of getting in the Championship, but to sort of sustain yourself in the Premier League requires bigger crowds, etc. I mean, you know, they've certainly had some decent form. I mean, they've got to go on a very good run. I mean, it's not impossible, but I think if they've got the situation and they've got some good players, you know, they should be planning for next season and deciding who's going to be the manager full-time and really then try and get a full assault on the League One to try and get in the Championship. As you know, Sheffield United, again, they've really, you know, to be in the position they are at this stage of the season with it is ludicrous in some ways, because they should certainly be, you know, they were favourites for automatic, that hasn't, but they certainly should be in the playoffs. They can still make the playoffs, but really, at this stage of the season, you want to be in there, and you want to be in, both clubs want to be higher in the league if they've got aspirations of going up.
Yeah, certainly Sheffield United, when you look at the money they've spent and the squad they've got, then a top six for most fans is a minimum this season, but it's not worked out.
Well, it'd be disappointing. The fans have had to put up with a hell of a lot of Sheffield United, as I say. I mean, when I took over Sheffield United, we got relegated. We come back straight away. I mean, the team was old and we built a new team and we played with some, you know, panache and goal scorers and everything else. I mean, it's really incredible that a team of Sheffield United, where they are, and you've got, you know, teams like Walsall, Burton and everything else that are above them that are not as well supported or wages-wise or anything else. I know there's pressure that goes with being the Sheffield United manager and players, but you've got to be able to cope with it, and that's part and parcel of being Sheffield United in the lower. The top clubs in the Premier League have to put up with that every week.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave, it's been an absolute pleasure listening to you and hearing some of your stories about your time throughout football. Thanks very much for joining us on Radio Yorkshire.
No, it's a pleasure. I've enjoyed my times in Yorkshire. Well, I lived there for a long, long time, and it's a good county. And in a way, it's a little bit sad. And when I think, you know, at one stage when I was there, Howard Wilkinson was manager of Leeds in the Premier. Trevor France was in the Sheffield Wednesday, were in the Premier. I was at Sheffield United in the Premier, Barnsley were in the division. You know, Yorkshire was a strong area, whereas now it's not the case. But perhaps Hull and, you know, who else? I think someone else.
Sheffield Wednesday. you might not want to name the other Sheffield side, but Sheffield Wednesday up there as
Sheffield
well.
Sheffield Wednesday, yeah, sorry. Sheffield Wednesday are having a good season. Yeah, no, I never don't mind that Sheffield Wednesday. I think it's good. I always thought it was great at both, but I mean, you know, with both those teams now in a little position, there's a chance that perhaps one or two of them can get back up into the Premier League, you know, because it is a good football area.
Well, let's hope so, because Yorkshire really does need a Premier League side, one at least.
Definitely.
Well, Dave, like I say, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Yorkshire. It's been much appreciated.
OK, Joe, I wish you all the best.